Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, did you just inhale really loudly?
Oh, maybe.
The microphone there.
I've got a bit of a cold. Terrible mic skills. Sorry about that.
Me too. I've got a cough. You know the bit in The Offspring, Pretty Fly for a White Guy?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm fairly certain I used to be able to do that.
Do it. Try it now. Do you want me to give you the right key?
I used to be able to do it. Mm. I just can't make that noise anymore.
And ready? We'll try again.
All right.
Give it to me, baby.
It's terrible, isn't it?
It's like it used to be the death rattle of some kind of animal.
I can't tell whether I've got like a chest. Like, I had a bit of a chest infection, which I seem to have every bloody summer nowadays.
What's the reason for that, do you think? Lack of moral fibre?
Lack of moral fibre. Probably the MSG on the Chinese. Yeah, I don't know. It just keeps on happening, guys. But for an asthmatic, it's problematic. But yeah, I used to be. Is it because your voice naturally gets deeper as you get older? Which I'm loving, to be honest, because, you know, voiceover work and all that. But yeah. But yeah, I just can't shift the idea that something's gone wrong somewhere.
Do a Luke and Pete show, voiceover voice.
Luke and Pete.
Does the job.
They're in a cave. Come and see them. What are they up to?
Does the job. Andy Brassel always says that. Andy Brassel of Football Ramble Daily.
Does the job.
Of Football Ramble Daily says that whenever
Andy
you go to,
Brassel.
Particularly go to France or Portugal.
Yeah.
They've got such a deep voice that you almost have to remind yourself when you speak in their language to go an octave lower because you just sound like David Beckham otherwise. And if you listen to his interview with Paulo Sousa, his voice is ridiculous. It's literally like, oh, yes. You know, from Andre Villas-Boas was the same.
Yeah.
Mourinho in it to an extent. So
Japanese men are kind of the same. I was sort of think you sound a bit silly if you talk a bit like this.
Go on, what are they? How do they sound? Right.
You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
There's a bit of a rumble to it, but... What's actually that? I remember when it was goodbye to Arsene Wenger at Nagoya. He was going, Watashi wa.
Was he? He's got a deep voice as well, though.
Yeah, but like even he sounded a bit weird. Watashi wa. What's his name?
Arsene Wenger.
Arsene Wenger, yes. Yeah, and he was just saying goodbye.
I think would you find it difficult to get on if you had a high pitched voice? Because some men's voices stay high, don't they?
I don't know. I mean, I think my accent is quite excruciating the best of times. So I think it's probably best if you
completely agree.
If you can possibly be as deep as you can, I think that helps a little.
That's what I'm saying. Remember Alan Ball, who was a famous football player. His voice was always quite high.
He had a very. Who was the guy who was the bloke from the FA who used to do the FA Cup draws?
Oh yeah, Brian Barwick, the one before him.
Yeah.
Graham Kelly.
Yes, yeah. Graham Kelly. He had a very high.
He did.
It's time for the FA Cup. It's time for the FA Cup draw sponsored by Brumbelows, Ladbrokes.
Was it Graham Kelly?
Yes, he had a very high voice like this.
Yeah. Emlyn Hughes as well. He had an excruciatingly high voice. Rest in peace.
Yeah.
Rest in peace, Emlyn Hughes.
I think it might be a little bit more emasculating than we tend to think if you're a man who had a very high-pitched voice. Ooh. So we stand in solidarity with you if you are in that boat.
We stan you.
Episode 198 of the Luke and Pete Show. It is Thursday, the 29th of August.
Whoa!
Bank holiday week. People have had a short week. Weather's been lovely.
Pulled my groin.
Go on, tell us more.
So I just pulled my groin. I was going to play football today, but I'm going to cancel it, I think, because I busted up my leg.
I've got a real issue on my right leg, the top of my leg, and the outside and the inside of it. Like a groin strain / feels a bit sore at the top of the hip. It's not great. No. I think it's, I'm putting it down just getting older.
Yeah. I play football probably twice a week now. And I don't work very hard. And I think it's probably good for me that I'm kind of active. But yeah, it's just a grind pull. Just puts you out of the game.
Peter, there are crimes happening all over the UK.
Crimes.
All the time.
Crimes.
As we know.
Stabbings.
We do
murders.
Give us an example of most three or four crimes.
Accountancy errors.
Is that a crime?
I think so, yes.
Not if it's a genuine error.
No.
Ignorance is not an excuse.
Ignorance is not an excuse.
Give us three more. Accountancy errors.
Shoplifting,
yeah.
Giving someone a disease they didn't know you had.
Yeah.
Yeah. Drugs.
Just drugs. Right. And so we live with crime all around us all the time, and that's something we have to get used to. But every so often there is a news story where I read it and it's of a crime and I think that could be Pete Donaldson.
Okay.
And it's not, I don't mean sex crimes. You know, I don't mean that. I'm not being out of order.
Double indemnity means I can't be tried for the same crime twice.
Well, here's one that definitely could be you, Pete Donaldson. It's caught on CCTV. There's a plea.
You got a bit emotional there.
For information. Well, you'll hear why in a minute, because model heads of Guy Fawkes, Oliver Cromwell, and Sir Thomas More have been stolen from the front of a tourist attraction. They were taken from the entrance of the London Bridge Experience on Saturday morning, and a man was captured on CCTV using a rope to tug the figures down before walking away with Guy Fawkes' head under his arm.
Well, hang on. The London Bridge Experience is London Bridge is where the dungeons used to be, presumably. They pulled down.
So, on the London Bridge Experience, it's kind of the ghastly ghoul fest or whatever. Yeah. And on the top of the sign, there are three heads on spikes.
Right, yes.
And they are Oliver Cromwell, Guy Fawkes, and Sir Thomas More. I mean, Sir Thomas More, apparently, was a late 15th, early 16th century lawyer, philosopher, author, statesman, and noted Renaissance humanist. I believe he was killed by the Catholics, I'm going to say. How is he on there? I mean, he's not famous at all. Oliver Cromwell, Guy Fawkes, everyone knows who they are. Yeah. No one knows who Sir Thomas More is. Anyway, all the heads have been stolen.
Yes.
The museum or attraction, whatever it is calling for information. They're offering £400 to help find it, saying we just want our heads back. I put it to you, Pete Donaldson. Where were you on that night?
I'm looking at the pictures now. I mean, it's very funny. They managed to pull. So you managed to take down the whole sort of shelf down from the thing with the spikes on it. Mm. So it was a messy crime. It wasn't very. They're offering £400 reward to anyone who could help find the man.
Yeah, that's what I just said.
Stolen the heads.
But the thing is, apparently it took place between 10 o'clock on Friday night and 8 o'clock Saturday morning.
Yeah.
In London Bridge.
Getting pissed, mate.
How on earth has people not seen that?
Well, people probably have seen that, but you just sort of go, oh, it's just a pissed man being weird. The doorway's also been damaged. Mm. It's really frustrating when we've been working a 20-hour day and some little scrot comes along and does this.
I mean, it's payment for those absolute idiots, those out-of-work actors who come up to you and try and get you to go there.
They're in work, aren't they? I suppose they are technically
in work, but that's not the work they envisaged, is it? I find those people excruciatingly annoying. More annoying than, like, human statues.
I think you start being annoyed by them, then you sort of realise that they're doing something that they love. They're doing the job that they're employed to do, so it's not their fault.
I'd rather take the doll.
You don't have to go in.
Thanks to everyone who got in touch to tell me about Uber punts in Cambridge, by the way.
Oh, you know,
I complained about the punts.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Apparently they do Uber punts now.
What, like as in you just call one and it just rocks up and you
apparently
go off to Spain?
I don't know how that works, though, because I don't really see how they can do that.
Why?
Well, I suppose I could use their mobile phone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I suppose it could work.
Thank you.
Yeah, it does work. I've mentally talked myself through it. It does work.
Yeah. But were you imagining that it doesn't work on the water for some reason?
Yeah, I just thought, well, you need some kind of device and some sort of screen. Yeah. And you've got a punt. You've got one of those sticks in one hand. And they need two hands to work. So it's just quite difficult, I suppose. What about this, Pete, from Dave Ensor sent this in. And this was particularly interesting to me because, you know, my wife collects sand.
Right.
You know that story? I told you that story, right? We've got a sand shelf at home. Everywhere we go, just we collect a little bit of sand,
right? Okay.
And we
marked
and we labelled them and put them in the collection.
Is that regal?
Well, a French couple have just been caught with 90 pounds of Sardinian sand.
That's too much.
In their car. 40 kilos of Sardinian sand, which apparently is considered public goods. So it's strictly forbidden to remove it, it's essentially the theft of stuff, yeah.
Are they sort of stealing it and put it in like a sand pit at home because they want their kid to enjoy Sardinian sand?
Well, they kind of said that they were taking it home as a souvenir.
Anything bigger than...
you do not take a 40-kilo souvenir of anything. Imagine if that was cocaine.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
it's a souvenir from Colombia. Bolivia.
You see, in Mexico, a judge has ruled that two men are allowed to take cocaine like medicinally or recreationally, as long as they don't do it with anybody else, as long as they don't sell it. He's got all these stipulations. Basically, these guys have been given carte blanche as a kind of solution to the obviously massive drug problems they have over there. They've been said that they could, a judge has ruled that these two guys can take cocaine without fear of prosecution.
It's called a landmark ruling, isn't it?
Mm.
They've called it that because yeah, well, obviously for the reason you said, but that's really interesting because I'm not suggesting to be a social political expert. But clearly in that country, it's so difficult with the amount of violence. It's one of the most dangerous countries in the world. The cartels run the place. All the politicians are in the pocket of the cartels. It would be quite... And obviously, you can't really do this because I suppose you're essentially playing with the lives of potentially millions of people. But it's a thought experiment. It's interesting to think, what would happen if you just undercut their trade by just making it all free and all legal?
Mm.
So every single seizure they have... They just make it all free, give it to whoever wants it. Completely undercut on the value of it. I suppose it wouldn't matter because a lot of it's for export anyway, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think the vast proportion is consumed in Mexico.
But is that the thin end of the wedge, though?
I don't know. It's worked for Portugal, right?
But has it actually worked for Portugal?
Yeah, it has massively. There's been no increase, nor decrease of... there's been decrease in criminal activity, but there's been no increase in use, I believe.
No, but I think... Yeah, but there's a bit of a misconception about Portugal. So the status of the drugs are illegal, but I think it's kind of like a decriminalised thing. It's not like you can't just go and buy them from somewhere.
No, you if you're allowed 2 grams for your own use, effectively. You can't sell it, but you can have 2 grams.
So I remember looking about it before for maybe even this show like a year ago or something. It's to do with I think they declassified the crime from a criminal crime to like a civil one or something.
Yeah, so you just get your hand slapped and you got to go for a little meeting with somebody.
But even if you're a dealer, not if you're a drug dealer, surely.
No, it as I said, if you get caught with more than 2 grams of anything, you get in big bother. But if it's 2 grams for your own use, you don't get in trouble. But it just means that the prisons aren't, you know, clogged up with people who... It's like in America, the for-profit prisons are just filled with young black men who you know, fucking smoked a bit of weed or had a bit of weed on them when they got fucking stopped and searched.
I would... The privatisation of the prison system should be illegal anyway. I mean, it's a massive and gross conflict of interest.
Mate, they don't want to release people from prison because they are very adequate. Basically, slave labor, insanity.
I think it's a huge percentage of like electronic goods and washing machines and that kind of stuff are made by people in prisons, aren't they? For free, essentially.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, don't steal sand, guys. If you go to Sardinia, don't steal sand. They're very sensitive about it.
I was watching a little mini documentary about it, and the firefighters. Oh, actually, probably like John, Last Week Tonight. It was like the firefighters, a lot of the California wildfires were fought by prison mandated firefighters. So right. They're in prison, they can make a bit of money, a little bit more money than what you'd usually get in prison as a worker anywhere. But once you get out, you've got all these skills at fighting wildfires and being an important member of society. But as the statutes... or as they are now, you can't join the fire service if you've got any kind of criminal.
Anyway, yeah. So you're basically you could potentially be a really skillful, good, experienced firefighter, but you can never work.
Yep.
That's what fascinates me. I don't get too heavy about it, but that's what kind of fascinates me about, I won't speak at length about the US because I don't know it that well, but in the UK, it seems to be a massive amount of like people going to prison is because it satisfies a certain profile of person in this country to see other people suffer, basically. So what I mean by that is I'm not talking about a murderer or a rapist or someone who's just severely very dangerous person. Clearly there needs to be some sort of planning and incarceration for those type of people, but it's like that speech that Obama made, I think just before he left office, where he said if you go out and you steal someone's bike or you, as you mentioned earlier in one of your list of crimes, you make an accountancy error. You owe a debt to society, and no one's arguing that. But you don't owe 25 years. You don't owe a lifetime in jail. You know, the gross overpopulation in prisons in the US, but also in this country as well, in terrible conditions, should shame everybody. And the reason it should shame everybody is because it costs a huge amount of money. These people are human beings, people who've committed like very low-level, non-dangerous crimes. There's actually no justification for them being in jail. They should pay their debt to society in a way that benefits everybody, rather than just essentially hammering the public coffers and making a load of Daily Mail reading dickheads feel better about themselves. It's summed up brilliantly in Alan Partridge, where Sonia, his Ukrainian girlfriend, tries to tell him to tell the Chancellor of the Exchequer that he's not paying his tax. And he turns around to her and says, "Sonia, do you want to go to prison?" And she says, "Well, you said prison was like a holiday camp." And he says, "I was making a point about something else."
Did you see Ross Ulbricht's, the bloke who made Silk Road, you know, the illegal dark web marketplace where you buy drugs and guns?
I didn't know who he was. I've heard of the website.
He's drawn a beautiful picture of himself in prison. He's never going to leave that.
Is he in jail?
He's in jail.
Under U.S. territory.
Under U.S. territory. Yeah, right. He's never going to leave. He's had two life sentences and plus 40 years without parole, which again seems, if we're going to go down that route, it seems a little excessive for a man who admittedly set up a website where he could buy loads of guns and drugs. Yeah. But he was clearly a bit of an egomaniac, but he's drawn a beautiful picture of him in prison with his celly, as he calls him. Cellmate. You're not like my celly in
we are, but he's got 40 years before he's eligible for parole, right? Oh no, life imprisonment plus 40 years without any possibility of parole. Blimey, O'Reilly. Apparently he got $28 million worth of illegal money, though.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah, he's more of a facilitator, wasn't he? I don't know, it's interesting.
There was a very interesting piece in the newspaper about how he was caught and how it was about, he could have stopped at any moment and just got up, you know, hidden away in the night.
How did he get caught?
He got caught because he was in a public library. This is like kind of like ground zero, where it happened, when it happened. it was really funny, the police ran over and he was using his laptop, ran over, grabbed his laptop. While he was using it, and made sure it was like, I keep it awake. Imagine if you just for a second like looked away and just turned itself off.
Yeah. That's bad admin by him, isn't it?
He was very careful. Like as soon as you close that lid, encryption like that,
done.
You never get all of it. Fascinating.
So he was basically sent down for that amount of time. For what were the actual charges though?
Oh, I don't know. Big,
I'm a check.
Big boy crimes though. I mean, he set up a marketplace where thousands, millions, millions of pounds exchanged hands for drugs. Oh, okay.
So money laundering, computer hacking, and conspiracy to traffic narcotics. So that's that. So the life imprisonment plus 40 years will probably be because of the drug trafficking.
I think
they probably got him under because they're very, very harsh on that due to like the influx of drugs coming into the country.
I think anything like hacking is quite frowned upon as well because look at how. Not Bo Bergdahl. Who's that? That woman who transitioned. She was a whistleblower.
Oh yeah, I know who you mean.
I can't remember her name now. She is in prison for a very, very long time. Or is she in exile in Russia? I forget.
Chelsea Manning.
I always forget about where these people are. He left the Ecuador. Julius Assange there.
Yeah.
Left the Ecuadorian embassy and is now in police custody. Where's Chelsea Manning? Is she in Russia? Or am I thinking of someone?
No, that's Edward Snowden, isn't it?
Edward Snowden's in Russia.
It's hard to get on top of all these
Chelsea
different
Chelsea Manning is in prison, I want to say. But that was all about hacking, wasn't it? She got caught. She got
she's currently in jail for her continued refusal to testify before a grand jury against Julian Assange.
Oh, there we go. Okay, fine.
Oh, and all he did was eat a succulent Chinese meal.
All he wanted was a succulent Chinese.
Let's have a break and we'll do some emails, PT.
Okay.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this yeah. shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
And today, I'm going to show you what I've been doing to take care of the pantry moth situation.
Oh, fuck. Can't believe you've done this. I can't believe you've released a pantry moth in my pantry. This is the last place it needs to be.
There was a massive moth in my house last night. Anyway.
I have got some cheese in my fridge, but I turned off my fridge and freezer and I forgot that I did it. Is the cheese going to be okay?
It'll be okay for a time, yeah.
Because cheese, you just used to keep in the larder, didn't you?
If you eat cheese at room temperature, it's much tastier.
Yeah, but can I keep it at room temperature for a long time? I reckon you can. Cheese is pretty indestructible, isn't it?
I think
it just goes hard.
I think listeners of this show are going to find out at some point. hello@lukeandpeteshow.com to get in touch. You don't have to get in touch with us on such heavy issues as we were talking about before the break. Mm. We were on our soapboxes before the break, but we're off them now. And I am going to prove that I'm off my soapbox by reading this email out from James. Who says, hi, Luke and Pete, just writing this in regards to episode 195 and tea making. I'm from Nottingham, but I live in Edmonton, Canada, and my girlfriend is Canadian. Anyway, I give her parents my treasured PG tips sent to me from my mum in England, only to find that her dad made the tea on this occasion by putting the tea bag in cold water in a mug and then proceeding to microwave the thing for 2 minutes.
Wow, that's not nice, is it?
After consulting my father-in-law, I told him that this is unacceptable and since then have changed his outlook on brew making. As Luke said in the episode, he needs a re-education camp. Shocking scenes. Keep up the good work, James. When I first met my now wife, who of course is American, I was happy to do it. I'm not suggesting that it should be any different.
How do you know she's American? She could be a double agent, like something out of 24.
True. What I need to do is pick up her passport.
Exactly.
See if it's a fake. And Pete, I had to tell her she had never, ever made a cup of tea before.
Right, okay.
And she was, when I met, I think she was like 25.
Well, also like tea bags, you sort of think tea bags, tea bags are a very British thing. Everywhere else in the world, they don't necessarily use quite so many, do they? Tea bags are very British.
Well, in Scandinavia, I'm fairly certain, and some of our listeners in that part of the world could tell me differently, but I'm fairly certain they don't have milk in their tea. So they have a normal PG tips type tea with no milk in it.
Yeah.
So with my wife, I had to essentially talk her through the process. It took a while for her to get it right.
British man. listen, darling. It's a mate, a perfect cup of
but
tea.
Pete, but
speaking
Pete,
of Alan Partridge and his girlfriend,
it's interesting how your mind works. If you met a girl and she wasn't from this country,
yeah.
and you lived together, it's all right, relax. It's not going to happen anytime. Yeah,
where will my magazines go?
And you said, look, I quite fancy a cup of tea while you're in the kitchen. Do you mind making me one?
Yeah.
And she said, Peter, I have no idea how to do it.
Yeah.
Tell me now, tell our listeners how you would explain to her how to make it.
To be honest, I think the microwave thing, we sort of bristle at it, but would it not just get the job done?
Might do, yeah.
Wouldn't it just not?
I wouldn't feel comfortable microwaving a tea bag in the microwave, though.
Why?
Because I've seen my granddad microwave coffee to warm it up again because it's got cold because he got distracted
I've
or something.
I've done that, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Mm. Now, I can't see microwave being at all needed for... But the thing about my wife as well is she didn't actually own a kettle either.
Oh, they don't in America, do they?
No.
It's all on the hob.
And she had a coffee machine, I think.
Yeah,
it's like, yeah, it's very strange. Very strange. So I will show solidarity with James there and say that would be disappointing. I would probably politely and very nicely say, look, this is how I kind of make it. This is the best way of making it, et cetera, et cetera. But you wouldn't say anything to anyone. You'd probably just drink it, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Look, if she wants to make tea like that, I'll drink it and maybe it'll be a great new flavour. If not,
She's
got to stay in the hall.
In the company of a real life woman. She puts the tea bag in the basket.
Yeah.
Peter, what do you think about the milk in first gang? You don't mind that either?
I think it's a bit like UFOs for me. It's a bit overwrought. It's been overdone, the whole.
All right, you got to put the milk
overwrought.
In first, you fucking.
What would you do?
What?
Do you put the milk in first?
No, I wouldn't necessarily. No. It'd always be tea first. But yeah. I mean, people who put milk in first, again, just give it a big old stir with the spoon. Everything comes out in the wash.
What about cream or jam first or scone?
Yeah, you're a cream first, aren't you?
Yeah, because to me, the cream is like a butter substitute, right?
You're pushing the jam. You're just getting needless cream on your jam knife. And what if you want to get more jam out of the... What if you're doing more than one scone? Then you've got a creamy knife.
But how do you put a heavy clotted cream on top of jam without squeezing it everywhere?
What do you mean?
You'd
use a spoon and just blop it on. Blop. Give it a blop.
Right. Anyway, carry on.
I just don't understand. Because you're just jamming the jam into a creamy... Yeah, you're just flattening the cream needlessly.
I want to jam it with you.
Daniel Williams, Dan. Hi, guys. Connor's tweeting your short 196 regarding his eye surgery. Reminded me of the time when I was going for my surgery following testicular cancer treatment a little over 5 years ago. Very survivable, that cancer, I hear. I was in the room. Dan is a testament to it, I guess, because he's emailing. I was in the room beforehand, in my gown, when the surgeon, who did a great job and I'm all fine now, proceeded to ask me which testicle was being removed. Imagine if the stress of the situation led me to say the wrong ball.
Yeah.
When I replied it's the left one, he then drew a fuck-off line right up my thigh to the ball in question. I wonder what would have happened if I'd have said it was the right ball. Would have given a whole new meaning to the term, dropped a bollock. Love the show, guys. Dan. Do your balls sometimes switch over?
No.
Like, not completely, but sometimes...
I think that's possible.
They'll go on top of each other.
Yeah, one hangs lower than the other.
No, I mean like on top of each other. Like, right, hang on.
Oh, God.
Right. There's right and left.
Wash your hands after you've done this.
I'm folding my right over on my left.
Right.
So my right ball is now in the left-hand side.
Right.
Right.
But now what's happened now you've stopped doing that? What's happened now you've stopped doing that?
It's popped back. Only because I've got room. Yeah, but like if it's a cold room, it might not have room to... go back into the right quadrant.
And I think, what's the name of the emailer? Sorry, Daniel.
Dan.
I think, I feel like, while I understand that it's better safe than sorry, and you can't ask for enough information, and I imagine the surgeon wants to get stuff right, they should know. Listen, they should know.
If you've got the scrotum open, and I know you have to be less than invasive nowadays with your keyhole surgery and the like, you still gotta know what a cancerous testicle looks like. But Dan, I'm glad it's all clear and you're feeling all right now.
Yeah, and it's very important to get yourself checked, of course, and we should definitely combine it with a fold. You just did that.
Combine it with a fold.
I think absolutely men should talk about this stuff more and be more aware of how important it is, but I feel like the surgeon should know at this point. I can understand if it's a kidney, because you've nothing there, right?
Mm.
So it would probably say, in the scan and in the results and the consultation, left kidney. or whatever. Maybe it only says it twice. So you think, well, you better check. But I hear stories of surgeons leaving implements inside people and stuff.
I was listening to a podcast, Dr. Death, which is just a man who...
Oh, I haven't got to that yet.
Who just has a wild old time. He hasn't done any surgeries before. He's a bit of a fucking joker.
True story.
He's got that kind of ego, massive narcissistic ego disorder where you think that everything you do is fucking brilliant. And also, takes a lot of cocaine as well.
Right.
Which is a perfect storm of bad doc.
Jokes on them is because surgeons are called Mr., not Doctor, or Mrs.
Oh, is that right? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's...
Do you know why that is? In this country, it's because of where surgery came from. It was seen as being like a real wild west of unscientific stuff.
And the barber surgeons.
Yeah, surgeons weren't really considered to be proper doctors, so they still call themselves Mr. It's a bit rich that now, isn't it? A bit petty, isn't it? If I had done a load of medical stuff. Yeah, I'd like to be called doctor, I think.
I'm right. That's what I've earned.
But they should know, and they shouldn't be leaving implements.
Don't leave sponges inside people.
Definitely not sponges. Mm. Here, what about this one here from James Clark, another James.
Mm.
Hi, Luke, and hi, Pete. Firstly, a very big thank you for the recommendation. I had a large cod and chips from Kennedy's last Friday, and it was bloody excellent and fulfilled my main criteria of not skimping on the chip portions. That's the fish and chip shop I recommended, Pete.
Mm,
although James is doing a large cod and large chips from Kennedy's, because to put it in perspective, On Saturday night, we had four of us at our house and we had two small chips between us. So how he's had a whole large on his own is crazy. Maybe he's a big lad. He said, anyway, you could argue that maybe when looking for a new fish and chip shop, the first place I should have tried is the award-winning one down the road. Mm. Absolutely right. James Clark is also the basement waterproofer.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Yeah.
So he just bought. Have you got any updates as to like what he's working on? What
he says here,
more interesting.
In terms of the basement waterproofing stuff, I don't get my hands too dirty, as I tend to stay on the design side of things. But
Dr. McPlanson.
Yeah,
but Mr. Surgeon.
I feel you're very much falling into the trap of thinking this is much more interesting than it actually is. Doesn't sound like us. and while I've been working on some large-scale projects like new hospitals, universities and stadiums, most recently the Tottenham Stadium, the glazed-over looks of my family and friends has taught me not to go into detail as to how waterproofing is actually achieved. And I wouldn't want you to lose listeners as I ramble on about crystalline waterproof concrete additives. But since you've asked, it would be rude not to indulge a bit. In this scenario, I have assumed that we are going to waterproof an existing basement where a delicious, succulent Chinese restaurant wants to increase its capacity. Assuming the tarpaulin itself is waterproof, which I'm pretty confident it is, the problem we would have is overlapping different sheets together due to the size of the basement and the limited dimensions of the rolls. Traditionally, taped tarps wouldn't be sufficient to withstand water pressure. So in this instance, let's assume we have manufactured a roll of tarp, the perfect dimensions of the basement, and let's call it Luke and Pete Tarp Seal. We can't mechanically fix the tarp seal to the walls, as we would just be puncturing it, so we would have to temporarily hold it in place with a high-strength double-sided adhesive tape we will call Luke and Pete Tarp Seal Tape. At this point, we have a barrier that's sufficiently been laid on the slab and installed to the walls, but if we had the sudden ingress of water through the structure, the tarp seal would just lift off the slab and walls and sag around and be altogether useless, so we need to provide a means of permanently and uniformly loading the tarp seal. Vertically, we would put a new blockwork wall in front of a tarp seal,
right,
while leaving 40mm gap, which would then be filled with brick mortar. Horizontally, we could just lay a new screed down at about 80mm, which should do the job. And there you have it, a successful waterproof design. And although it would be unpractical, expensive, inaccessible, unwarrantable and non-compliant, I don't see why you can't start the ball rolling on large-scale manufacturing of Luke and Pete Tarp Seal.
Be nice for making your favourite sweatboxes.
Yeah, James Clark also attached a sketch. He actually took the time to attach a sketch, which I very much appreciate. I don't remember asking exactly how to do it.
I'm very fascinated by sump pumps and things like that, how you waterproof a basement. I'm just Googling crystalline waterproof additives. Basically, something to add, crystals to add to cement when you're mixing it, to make the blocks and make the cement. It kind of like, it spreads out through the holes, because you know, like cement's got big holes in it.
Yeah.
All of this crystalline stuff kind of waterproofs it through the holes. But I thought the holes were the strength of the concrete, or am I being foolish?
Yeah, there must be something in the structure. Because what I find interesting is when you see, say a brick arch,
yeah, right,
and it's just one brick, and it's all held together by a keystone and all this mortar, it doesn't look to me like it would. It should be strong enough. Do you know what I mean?
Isn't that just engineering 101?
Just one layer. Yeah, I know, but I don't fully understand it.
Who's the fellow who used to do this? It was a steeplejack who in real life might have been a little less nice. Yeah.
Fred Dibner?
Fred Dibner. Yeah, him.
What do you mean? What's that got to do with
it? He'd tell you about that, wouldn't he?
Oh, he would say that's just it's just all in the engineering.
It's all in engineering, isn't it? Mm. And if it doesn't like it, it'll get a slap.
I'll slap the arch down.
Slap the arch down.
All right, let's get out of it, Pete.
All right, baby doll.
Hello at Luke and Pete. Should I get in touch about any kind of waterproofing, any kind of stealing of sand, perhaps to use to waterproof something?
Maybe next week we'll review some crystal internal membrane, hydrophilic crystalline admixture.
In the meantime, don't forget to check your balls. See you next time.
This was a Radio Stakhanov production.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.